I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Clicking Balls. This is our 2018 season primer for the St Kilda Saints. My name is Heath, and we'll have a look at the Saints' 2017 season and what's coming forth in next year for them as well. So let's have a look at them. 11th they finished with 11 wins and 11 losses.
Yep.
It looks really nice, 1-1, 1-1, 1-1, but fair to say they expected finals.
They definitely did. Big talk from the Saints supporters in the off-season as well about how this is going to be their year and... Shit, I mean, they showed what they were capable of, but yep. Oh my God, they were pathetic in some games.
They were brilliant and pathetic in the one year. Their worst and their best were such a chasm in between.
And there was no difference the last two seasons for the Saints, which is difficult because when you look forward, they've lost a lot of stars who actually propped them up and really filled in gaps that they shouldn't have to fill in this year. Maybe Montagna and Riewoldt.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like the Saints are too likable to be a premiership threat.
Yeah, and that's like, no St Kilda supporter is happy with that.
It's consistency, like we said. You know, it's individuals as well as a team. Because it's almost frustrating watching them because you can see what they're trying to do and they just can't put it all together. But when they do, it looks unbelievable.
Oh, when they get a run on, their ability to flow with the ball, astounding.
Well, we always start talking about their highlights of the year, and I think their clear highlight was the win over Richmond.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, ended up being premiers, but I remember watching that game and I thought they couldn't do it no wrong. They should buy lottery tickets.
Well, how the fuck did Richmond get the premiership when every team we've commented so far had a highlight win over them?
Yep, pretty much. And I feel like they won that on merit too. Like they pressure Richmond into making mistakes, which end up being Richmond's game plan.
Oh, it's an old saying, like we'll just talk about poker. I mean, you make your own luck.
Yeah.
And they did everything skillful, and when the ball needed to bounce their way, it did.
I mean, it was 14-8 to 1-4 at half time.
Yeah. 92-10.
Ridiculous.
That's been the cues in the rack.
It almost was disappointing that they didn't run out 150 point winners.
Yeah, and they're fighting for top eight spots, which they lost by a game and percentage. So this is one that really put a sort of, you know, and laid down the line of what they were expecting for the rest of their season, and they just did not follow through with it.
But an amazing first half. Like, I don't think St Kilda have ever played that good.
That's the best game I've seen St Kilda play in a very, very, very long time. I can't remember the second one, but they've had some good seasons, you know, in the 90s and shit. And so, yeah, but for me, in what I can remember, this is the best game I saw them play.
It reminds me of the sort of moments when, you know, when you're playing footy, you've suddenly got the ball in the middle of the pack and you've run off and no one's near you and you're like, shit, did the ump blow the whistle?
How did that happen?
They spread so well.
No, everyone's straight. Shit, all right, no, I'm off. Okay.
Yeah.
I got this. It's
almost like they were that... It's almost like a well-drilled team. They forced turnovers through their pressure, and they spread wide and just had an assault coming forward.
Yep.
It was like they flanked the team. They took them head-on. They did every strategy possible and won every single contest. I think they had, like, I looked on my notes, 429 to 319 possessions, which is just ridiculous.
You're just hogging it at that stage.
Yeah.
they had another big win, which was against Hawthorn down in Tassie.
Yeah.
So the previous year, they had the... incorrect umpiring decision, which was the not 10 paid against, I think it was Montagna.
Yeah.
And Hawthorn ended up winning by 3 points, I think.
Yeah.
So you come back, you go,
criminal,
oh,
criminal.
This year, it's not going to happen. They won by 10 goals.
Was that round 23?
No. It was middle, early in the year. It's like round 7 or 8 or 9, something like that. They played Richmond in round 23.
Right. That's right. Yeah, we spanked them.
So, I mean, that was a big win. And I think Hawthorn's winning streak down in Tassie was quite large at that stage as well.
Mm.
But Hawks were never in with a shot when they were playing like that.
Yeah, and I mean, if the Saints could carry that sort of game style into every single game, they'd be obviously well up there into the finals. But it's just interesting to see how... I feel like they've got, like, I don't know, almost like 10 5-inch chains in the link that's put together with a paperclip.
Yeah.
It's just one little link, and I think that's the half back line, which they real fail at over every single game. And I think the biggest indicator of that is how much trouble they have in kicking out from oppositions behind and linking up forward. When you've got Montagnas coming down to the back pocket to take a kick because there's no other viable option, something's wrong.
Well, maybe it is a skill level issue then. That, you know, some of the lads have gone, all right, we need runners. And, we'll get to the kicking later.
But with their runners, just have a bloke who can put in an 80-metre punt.
Yeah,
it's only a few of them.
I feel like they got too many forwards. I feel like they got too many good forwards, and I think they've just accumulated good players without figuring out how it's going to fit into a game plan.
Yeah,
I mean, when you look at it, they've got Jack Billings kicked 23 goals, Jay Gresham kicked 30, you've got Tim Membry kicked 38, Josh Bruce kicked 36. You still got Paddy McCartan, who only played 5 games.
Yeah,
who's there's lots of sort of issues about him being able to play out a full game, and you got Mav Weller kicked 11, but showed that he could play forward line as well. I feel like that's too many cooks.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think they've got too many utilities.
Yeah.
Because out of all those guys, I think really only Josh Bruce is the one that won't spend time in the back line.
Yeah.
But I think he even spent some time in the ruck this year.
So. Yeah, he played some midfield and played good too. So I feel like you've got to figure out what your structure is going to be, what your game plan is going to be for that forward line, and just stick with it. Let one person, especially with Riewoldt gone this year or next year, you really have to make that someone's forward line instead of having that sort of passing through because it hasn't worked.
In a weird way, losing Riewoldt might actually free them up a little bit.
Yeah,
I think so too.
Because now they can't, I'll just kick it in the direction of Rui, we'll see what he does.
Yeah, and you can't become complacent either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still not convinced he's not going to come back. Like every time I've written him off, he's come back, had some great games.
And the funny thing is, with St Kilda, I mean, we got a lot of flack for our preview at the start of the season. Like a lot of people thought we were wrong.
Thousands of people.
This is one of the few runs that we actually got right.
Yeah,
and especially where the liabilities were big men around the ground and their half back line.
Yeah,
and I think they've lost. Who's the American dude that they had?
Jason Holmes.
Jason Holmes. He's gone now, isn't he?
Yep.
Probably gone to the Melbourne Tigers. Fix up them.
You kill it.
Yeah.
So we've sort of touched on a little bit. Oh, I thought one of their other highlights was the send off of Nick Riewoldt in round 22, but I've also got it as a low light because I understand it was his last game at Etihad. But he was playing next week.
Yeah.
Like, why have the big emotional send-off? I realise finals were out of the question by then.
Yeah.
So that's fine. But he's playing next week.
At the MCG.
It's
yeah.
Two tram stops away, basically. Yeah. Well, train stops, maybe.
Yeah. One train stop. Two train stops, yeah.
I was just shocked. Like, it's there. It's next week.
Yeah.
There's $2 pies.
Yeah.
You can go to that game.
You can finish with 40,000 people in there.
Mind you, hey. We got our money's worth out of those $2 pies. Don't worry about that.
So did. Just make sure you sit down in that game.
I was at Port Gold Coast that one.
You were?
Yeah. $2 pies.
In China.
So I had that sort of as a low light as well, because it just didn't make sense to me. But anyway, what are their other lows for the year? Like, well,
1 week after giving the Tigers a fair pasting, getting smashed by Essendon.
Yeah.
Yep.
That has to be it.
As good as Saints looked against Richmond, Essendon looked great in that game too. But the Saints needed to show more than that.
7-15 though.
Yeah, well, says a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah. And I feel like they didn't even play to any sort of standard at all. Essendon didn't make them play to a low standard. They just didn't show up.
Yeah. And once Essendon got the run on, it was like, oh, just let us be over.
Which is sort of their season in a nutshell. They can look golden, champagne team. And then the next moment, you're just thinking, how the fuck did you miss that pass?
Yeah.
Well, I feel like they did like a golden champagne team for one game. You're like, how the fuck did they do that?
Yeah.
And then the rest of you are like, man, this is the Saints we know. But I feel like their worst loss was the one that put the nail in the coffin for that season against Melbourne in round 21. They got beaten 14-12 to 10-12, which was obviously two goals difference. But they were one game a percentage out of playing finals. Yep. And Melbourne were one of the teams that they were fighting against, also with the Bulldogs. And they had two late season losses against these teams.
Yep.
And so if you can't beat them head on, you're not going to make finals.
It doesn't matter. Yeah.
Yep.
Even if you do make finals from there, you're only making up the numbers.
Yeah. And the thing is, they came out slow. This is a game where you've got to be up firing. This is your chance to play finals. And you came out of the gate, and I think they were gave up 6-1 in the first quarter to a fuck-all score. And, I mean, in the third, they just ran out of gas. That was it. They came back a lot. I think they got within 5 points or something like that, and they just ran out of gas. Well,
that's it. They spent so much energy trying to get back to even that when the game was still on the line, and they still could have won it in the fourth, but that was spent.
Yep.
They were just out on their feet and had nothing left to give. And I think it might have even been wet that day too.
Could have been. I feel like that's the same story with the Saints. It's because there hasn't been a 100% team contribution. So you've got the same people that are making it, putting the team on their back and doing the hard work. And, yeah, obviously you can only do that for so long.
I put down their lows was they won two out of their last seven. So they were well in it. And, you know, looking at September, but it all fell apart from there.
Yeah.
And that included those games against the Bulldogs and the Demons, like you mentioned. But also, Paddy McCartan was a big downer for him.
Yeah.
What do you have? Two or three concussions on the year. Another couple the year before.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a big lump of a lad, and it takes him a couple of years to get to the speed of AFL.
Yep.
Being the bigger lads. But number one draft pick, he's meant to be their next Tony Lockett, essentially. And he can't stay on the field. You know, no fault of his own, or maybe it is a technique thing, or he goes into packs or whatever. But you know, he's got to start thinking: does he want to do something besides football?
I don't know. Yeah, I'd be doing a degree or something like that if I was him.
While I can,
because especially if you're looking to still in that forward line spot, like we said, they've got too many cooks in that kitchen.
Yeah. Maybe
you fill in Montagna's spot. I think he's a candidate for that.
Maybe part of the reason they've got too many cooks in there is because Paddy McCartan hasn't stamped his authority yet.
Yeah.
And he hasn't said, I am this full forward. Yep. You give me the ball.
Even Josh Bruce, I think he thought he presented well, showed he's capable of it, but when it came down to pressure, he just did not handle it. Showed time and time again in games where they needed clutch goals late in the game, just did not handle it at all.
Well, now they've got it because Rui's not there to take the spotlight off them.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But so I had those as the main lows for the Saints. And obviously missing out on finals when they expected to.
Yeah. I still got to do the chopping block.
Coming up to it.
Sweet.
So let's have a look at their off-season. No real major ins. They've got Logan Austin, who you haven't heard of.
No.
Came from Port Adelaide, I think. Who, you know, they're... Again, looking for something for nothing, I think.
All their ins were draft picks. Yeah. They accumulated well.
Well, that was the smart part they did. They did the trade with Hawthorn, and Hawthorn had a less than stellar year and managed to get 7 and 8 in the draft.
Well, it was their futures that they... And done well again this year, too.
Yeah, I think they got more out of their...
They were just link-up trades in order for players to get to other clubs, not there. So
they've invested heavily. Yeah, two top 10 draft picks, it's a good base.
Yeah, I think that's a smart move from Alan Richardson as well. You can see what you've got at the moment. It's not going to be a premiership squad, so you've got to figure out where your stocks are and how you sort of have a malleable game plan around those people.
Well, the smartest one they picked up for me was Nicholas Caulfield, who's a defender, which, you know, picking a defender in top 10 is... Not the most common.
Doesn't happen often.
Still waiting for Hugh Goddard to turn something on that one.
But the bloke's 191 centimetres, so he's not a small lad. I mean, he's got a head like a drop pie, but in a defender, that's a good thing.
Yep. Some of the best.
It's common. They're outs. Obviously, Nick Riewoldt, the big one. St. Nick and all the emotion that goes with it. I think he's going to be in every bit of media, I hope, for the next year, because it was quite interesting.
Still played amazing footy. I was absolutely astounded for how he managed to strap his body together and get out there every week and play that sort of style of footy.
Well, everyone saw photos of his knees after every game and how much they blow up.
Yeah,
he's one of the guys, like, you know, absolute legend of the club. Maybe after Robert Harvey, maybe the best saner of all time.
Yep.
But he'd make defenders puke. He'd run that much.
Yeah. Exactly. And still did late in his 30s. Having said all that, I'm kind of glad he's retired.
Yeah, me too.
You know, he's got kids. I want to see him be able to walk. He's done well. Lee Montagna as well. Just another fantastic player.
Yeah.
And another asset, I think, to the media as well. Yeah. He's a funny lad.
I feel like Lee Montagne, he sort of... he was the person that would fill in any role they needed to be done, but he'd do it not as like sort of a pre-planned strategy. You just saw something he'd done on the field and he'd always fill in that role.
Yep.
And so I feel like if they just had some support in the back line, he would have been one of the most awesome link-up players from that centre-half back to centre-half forward, the rim of their forward line that they needed. And instead, he had to keep on dropping back to back pocket just to get them out of trouble time and time again.
They lost Sean Dempster, who, again, another great player. And I think played in a premiership too for Sydney.
Sure.
I could be wrong. Pulled up stumps. And Jason Holmes, they finally cut, which we spoke about. Didn't play many games, and obviously still learning the game when you're in your 20s is difficult.
Yeah.
But from the one or two games I saw, his hunger for the ball was great. I thought, you know, if anybody was going to make that late transition, I thought he was the one.
Yeah. Well, not everyone can have a 10-year career trying to learn the game like Magic Dawkins.
Yeah.
And it's just not a game built around big men anymore. No. And so you become a liability around the ground. And so that value of just being tall doesn't actually translate to the modern game.
Unless you're crazy tall.
Yeah.
But even like Mason Cox is 6'11", and he's lasted a little bit longer than Jason Holmes.
He hasn't done better than Grundy, though.
No, exactly. Yeah. Which just shows how hard it is. All right, let's have a look at their draw for 2018. And their double ups are GWS, Hawthorn, Melbourne, North, and the Tigers. GWS and Richmond is tough. That's a tough two for them to get. The other three, Melbourne is, thereabouts.
It's a yardstick there for them.
It's a good yardstick, and they should take care of Hawthorn and North.
Yep. I think Melbourne are a shade above them.
Yeah
they are. That's why they're there.
But I think Hawthorn and North, they need to win those four.
Yeah.
If they split the difference between them, which isn't impossible, their season will struggle.
That'll put a line through them.
They should very much win at least two of those four.
I'd say three. Yep. They need to win three of those four.
Yeah, I think they have to.
Two would be a failure, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I agree. But the Tigers, I mean, they flogged the Tigers this year. And then they played very weird in round 23, but I think they had their celebrations the week before.
Yep.
So they know they can match it with them. And if it means they can match it with them, they can match it with anybody. GWS is going to be tough. Richmond and GWS are two tough matches up. Or Richmond have another premiership hangover and they're an easy beat.
Yep.
So you never know.
Yeah, or GWS, everyone leaves halfway through the round one. I don't know.
Who knows? All right, who's going to have a big year for the Saints this year?
I really want Membry. I think he's a player that he could become a player that tears games apart.
He needs to now. Now is his prime.
Yep. I feel like they need anyone to step up across the half-back line. I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
Anybody. So if you want to cement yourself in that Saints team, you just say, look, I'm taking anywhere across the half back line. I'm going to make it my own and build that team around you.
Well, that's Savage and Webster. Those two guys need to start running and carrying.
Yeah.
And even if they just carry it for a good 10, 20 metres and then just bomb it long, which is what half backs are doing these days.
And Savage can do it. He has a long leg.
Yeah.
I think I say it every year. Yeah. His kicking is underrated.
I think Robertson did a good job sort of being that link up between centre half back and centre half forward as well. And I definitely underestimated his abilities. I thought for 2016, 2015, he was a liability.
Yeah.
And I thought he really switched it on. But I feel like all the talk's been about Hugh Goddard. We haven't seen bugger all of him. So when's it going to be the proof of this? I think it was number one draft pick, I think.
No, he wasn't number one, but he was high.
He was up there. Yeah.
I feel like they lack a bit of X factor, which is disappointing that in the rookie draft, they didn't pick up your mate Relton Roberts, had a fucking screamer before, and he could have walked right in.
Yep, he could have walked right into the Tula Pies, I think, around 23.
They wouldn't have made a profit that day.
He would have come in with 100.
Seb Ross is coming off his first best and fairest for the Saints this year.
Had a great season.
He did. Yeah. He had an absolute belter of a season.
The only problem is he can walk in any bar and not get a beer bought for him.
He's
unmemorable.
But he should continue that on now. And become, somebody that opposition teams have to go, right, what's our plan to curb him?
Yeah, I mean, he's looking at North Melbourne throwing $2 million at him.
That could happen.
When you look at the Saints, though, who is your on-field leader? Like, when shit's gone down, traditionally they've turned to Revolt or Montagne.
Yeah.
I feel like Armitage or someone like that.
I think it has to be.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I thought Geary, as a first-year captain, did great. And he, when they were talking about moving captains to the off-Revolt, he was the one I picked. I thought he's... his best and his worst are very close together. He's that consistent, and he's the tough as nails type, uncompromising.
Yep.
I think he's not going to be, you know, in the top five best and fairest type of players, but he's the right captain.
Yep.
So you're going to look to him for that steely, you know, resolve.
That don't fuck up my club player.
But I don't know if he's the skillful threading a pass from 50.
That's it. But you don't need that captain either.
No, you don't.
I feel like Jack Stevens could put his hand up for that role as well.
Or Jack Billings.
Jack Billings as well. As you're going to go that sort of young, I feel like Stevens has got that heart about him, which sort of the Saints fans love, and that's someone that they all get around.
You know the one thing I hate about Jack Stevens?
His haircut?
His name.
Jack?
Jack?
No, Stevens.
Steven.
That's not a surname.
No.
Stevens is a surname. Yeah. Steven isn't.
I'm sorry, Eddie.
Yeah, go fuck himself. I know his pain. I've also thought this year is a big year for Jake Carlisle. I reckon, because we know how good he can be.
Yeah.
This is his first year back after the Essendon supplement scandal and a little bit of cocaine in Thailand.
Yeah.
Well, fuck it. As long as the noose around your neck, jump off the horse.
But he played a lot of good games, and he could be your the linchpin in halfback.
Yep.
Then you get the runners, someone like a JJ or a somebody of that caliber to run off him.
Yeah.
He'll look after the gorillas down there and let the other guys do the running.
He'd also struggle to win Are You Smart on the fifth grader as well.
I don't think he's an intelligent lad.
Well, with that, he did get caught with the coke by his Instagram, didn't he?
Snapchat.
By himself, by himself. Yeah. He's like the Rube of the AFL.
Look, no one ever said football players had to be geniuses, but he kind of abuses the privilege.
Well, I'm going to say, the bar is set low, and he's managed to limbo under it, all on his own accord.
Well, not his fault. Look, the coke bit, yes, that is not his fault.
Yeah, pretty much his fault.
It's not his fault. He's not, not part of Mensa. I
mean, the accident part, fair enough. You're just like, oh, okay, I'll take this.
I can just imagine, though, just like those Asada blokes won't fucking find me here in Thailand.
All right, here you go, Ben. Brenton, who's on the outer?
Aaron Hamill, definitely. Yep.
Since he retired.
Forward line coach. I think Nick Riewoldt will just slot him straight in there. Like, he's got to be washing his back.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
I've been to a few of the Saints games, and I'll tell you what, his hairline left years ago.
Yeah. So. I remember when I worked at Crown, he used to come in and with Warnie, because Warnie's obviously a huge Saints fan.
Massive Saints fan.
Try and gamble the same, like, Warnie's level.
No.
One of the most angriest, cuntiest people I've ever met in my life.
Warnie or Hamill?
No.
Warnie's great, man. He didn't give a fuck. He was he never had a bad word to say about anybody. Hamill, on the other hand, complete cunt.
Yeah.
So, would not be sad to see him lose his job. Get Riewoldt in there. You've got to keep around the club,
don't you? Riewoldt's getting a job.
Well, definitely.
He has to do is ask.
Yeah.
Like,
not even that. They'll be begging him.
Of course they will.
Yeah. They'll be able to sell merchandise based on the coach's kit.
Yeah.
Well, he already had a Channel 7 contract this year, so I'm imagining he's probably going to go down the media path. But you never know.
Well, I remember
I thought Luke Hodge was going to do it too, but he ended up playing fucking halfback for Brisbane. So
I remember back in the day when Riewoldt was first getting onto the scene, he was on the Footy Show. And Sam Newman was talking him up and some sort of random comment. He's like, oh, do you want to take over? And he's like, oh, yeah. And just sat down in Newman's chair, ate a banana, started talking crap. He was a natural in that sort of thing. And I think he'll always have that genuine persona.
I was going to say, I thought they've bred that out of him then. Because although he's done a couple of good things, but you don't get much out of him. Although, again, another AFL player that I've seen the dick off.
I feel like Sam Newman is like the TV equivalent of Facebook comments. So it's not hard to fill in those shoes.
It is interesting, though, that anybody you hear talk about Sam Newman away from the camera says he's the most genuine bloke you can imagine.
And actually knows his shit, speaks sense. Knows the intricacies of the game.
He's obviously well educated.
Yeah,
but I imagine he'd be a little bit like that Milo Yiannopoulos dude. Like,
right. Yes.
When no one's watching, he probably talks sense and makes. Yeah. But as soon as the cameras are on, he's like,
"That's his job.
Turn I'm the dickhead money. Up to 10 and get paid to do it." So
I remember Hutchie said once, "If I caught up Sam Newman now and said I need a lift to Albury, he'd take me.
Right.
He'd drive me himself.
Only one way though.
Well, that's because he's getting out of Melbourne.
It'd be in the boot."
Also on the outer, I've put, obviously, Paddy McCartan. Not through any fault of his own, but, you know, we spoke about that. This could legitimately be his last year of footy if he gets another decent knock.
Yeah.
On the bright side of that, I mean, I think we said the same thing about Kurt Tippett, sort of 5 or 6 years ago.
Yep.
He managed to get through it, but I think head knocks, especially now with there's more awareness around it and more studies and that kind of stuff, another decent one. And do something else.
When you look at people putting in lawsuits against clubs and organisations, then you have to err on the side of caution if you're a club.
Well, yeah. The problem Johnny Barnes has, he has to prove that he had a level of intelligence degrade.
Not a good start. Yeah.
You know, they're taking the piss when Damien Monkhurst put in these same grievances.
Did he?
I don't know.
This is AFL media. We can make up the fuck we want.
So, just copy and paste. It's still left. left a couple of John Barnes names in the text.
How do you feel about Richo?
Which Richo?
Alan?
Alan
yeah. Richardson.
Right.
The coach?
Yeah. Say, don't you fucking dare say anything bad about Richardson.
Like I said, I see what he's trying to do.
I think he's safe. Yeah.
Yeah, he's safe.
I do think he's safe because he's
set themselves up.
Yeah. He's got draft picks and they've got cash.
Well, that's just it. They're not trying to win the 2018-2019 premierships. They're looking at 2020, 2021, 2022.
Yeah.
Around that mark. And that's when people are expecting GWS to drop off a bit because they're expecting to be on a two-flag run by now.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what his contract situation was, but let's say his contract expired right now and St Kilda board was sitting down with him. You'd have a look at what he's done and you'd have a look at the list and their picks and you say, right, you've got 3 years.
Yeah.
We're in a three-year development cycle now. We've done our bottoming out. You know, we've got more draft picks. We're mid-range. You've got 3 years to become a threat.
Yeah. I still feel like, exactly. 3+1 on performance clauses.
Yeah.
I think he's safe next year, but 2019, they're going to start putting a bit of heat on him.
It's like any coach, though, really. If they bottom out and finish 18th this year, you're gone. But I can't see that happening.
Yeah. Unless, it's another supplement.
9-year contract like Ross Lyon.
And Membry and Bruce, I think one of them's got to, one or both, have really got to stand up and say, command themselves and become all Australian selection.
Yeah.
Otherwise, what are you doing with them?
I feel like they're stepping on each other's toes, to be honest.
I feel like they're very different players. Like, Membry, to me, is a more aggressive, dominant player, whereas Bruce is more a skill player.
A leaping player.
Yeah.
But, end of the day, they're both playing half their game out of the goal square.
Yeah.
So, they're different styles, but you're occupying the same
territory.
Yeah.
It could be that you go, you know what? One is better. The other one, he has tradability right now. If we wait too long, we're going to get nothing for him.
Who do you get rid of, though?
Well, you let this year decide it. I mean, if they both step up and they kick 40 goals each, you're laughing. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yep. See, I think Membry's done the more consistent effort than Bruce.
I agree.
So I'd be keeping him. And I'd be looking at Bruce to be a winger.
Bruce has
he could do that.
Yeah.
I don't mind
revolt style.
Because Bruce has some of the greatest missing goals from the goal square highlights you've ever seen.
God. Exactly.
And I think he had two of the all-time greats last year, let alone what he's done before. So if it comes down to, 30 metres out on an angle, siren's gone, we need a goal to win.
Yeah.
I'd rather the ball be in Membry's hand than Bruce.
Yeah, I think Bruce had probably two of the top three misses from the goal square. I think the other one was Lindsay Thomas running into it open.
But Bruce finds space and takes marks. That's the thing. So he's got value.
Creates opportunity.
He's got values. That's why I feel if he could be a winger, that way push back and forward, I think that's his role. And I think that fills out a lot of problems that St Kilda have.
I don't know what his tank's like, though. But
that's true.
Maybe in this...
You've got an off-season to fix that up.
Yeah, he's got a pre-season.
Yep.
Or maybe he becomes the halfbacker and plays like Easton Wood.
Yeah, well, that's what you need,
Yeah.
Yep. It's pretty much a key role for people these days, for teams these days.
Yeah. All right, so Saints in 2017 finished 11th with 11 wins. Where have we got them finishing in 2018? Josh?
I've got them just making finals. I've got them 8th.
Snuck into the 8th. So,
I think it's going to be one of those tight years where, 7th to 12th is going to be a game or two in it.
Realistically, they only need to win one more game and they can finish 8th.
Yeah.
I think they can do it. I think they've got the right ingredients, the right youth. I can't see them making a genuine premiership threat.
Yeah.
But having said that, I probably said the same thing about Richmond last year.
I did, and I said the same thing about Bulldogs the year before.
Yeah. See, I feel I've got them staying in 11th. I feel this was a restructuring year, and I feel like next year's a restructuring year. I felt this year was a nothing year, where they figured out some holes that they've got, and they just didn't accredit them at the start of the season. They just didn't realise they were there or thought that that'd be an improvement. But there were some glaring holes in their strategy and their personnel. Yep. So I feel like that's going to be rectified this season. So even though it's going to be sitting at the same spot, 11th, I think it'll be a step forward in regards to a three-year plan.
I've pretty much got the same thing, except I reckon a bit more luck and they'll finish 9th.
Yep.
So a tiny bit higher, which is probably 11 to 12 wins anyway. So all around the same mark. But I see that as they'll be disappointed they didn't make finals. But they'll go, right, you know what? 2019, we're going to go top four.
Yeah, and they've got the picks in there to be able to fill out what holes they see are there this time.
The age bracket's right. You know,
yeah, they got some wild cards.
Their balance looks better.
Yeah.
You know, they got great value out of Nathan Brown this year from Collingwood, who you know, they got for nothing. He did more than admirable.
Yeah. Having said that, they were one of the teams after Josh Kelly. Had they managed to attract him, I'd be tipping them to about fifth, sixth.
Yeah, and if they sit backwards, I feel like their recruiter's got to go, whoever it is.
Yeah,
I feel like they've had too many misses.
Yeah.
I mean, so, McCartan and Goddard, there's a lot of misses in their recruiting.
I think their chips are still in. Like, McCartan and Goddard can still be something, and they need to.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, that'll do us for the Saners.
Yeah. Good luck, guys.
See you next year.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.